In a moment, I'm going to read a prayer written like a poem by Walter Brueggemann. Sadly died last year, but an eminent Old Testament theologian from America. And the prayer is called On Peace and War, in the context of what we've been experiencing this last week, viewing on the in the Middle East. He wrote this in response, in fact, to the Iraq conflict, as you'll see. But it's universal, as I think you'll also appreciate. So, On Peace and War by Walter Brueggemann. We are aware, acutely aware in your presence, of the grind of tanks, of the blast of mines hidden against human flesh, of the rat-a-tat of sniper fire. We are aware of the stench of death, bodies of our own military women and men, bodies of countless Iraqis, and the smell makes us shiver. Such smells and sounds are remote from us, but not remote from us are bewilderment and anxiety and double-mindedness. We are bewildered whether we are liberators or invaders, whether they are terrorists or freedom fighters, whether we should yearn for peace or savour victory. The world has become so strange, and our place in it so tenuous, where grey seems clearer than the white purity of our hopes or the darkness of our deathly passions. There is so little agreement among us, perhaps so little truth among us, so little, good Lord, that we scarcely know how to pray or for what to pray. We do know, however, to whom to pray. We pray to you, Creator God, who wills the world good. We pray to you, Redeemer God, who makes all things new. We pray to you, Stirring Spirit, Healer of the nations. We pray for guidance, and before that we pray in repentance for too much wanting the world on our own terms. We pray for your powerful mercy to put the world and us in a new way, a way after Jesus who gave himself, a way after Jesus who confounded the authorities and who lived more excellently. Whelm us by your newness, by peace on your terms, the newness you have promised, of which we have seen glimpses in your Son, who is our Lord. The newness you have promised, that prayer poem finishes with, is glimpsed by the Samaritan woman at the well that we read about a few moments ago. We do know, however, to whom to pray, the prayer went. And the woman discovered that too. Christ, the living water, he was the one to pray to. I'm going to read a second prayer poem by Walter Brueggemann, released right now, just part of it, and the rest subsequently. We'll be familiar, all too familiar, with the phrase regime change, the phrase the US uses an objective in Iran has used for previous conflicts. This prayer by Walter Brueggemann is called Holy Regime Change. Regime change, whether it's in Iraq or in Iran or as in Iraq, whenever, are supposedly bringing peace by force. And this prayer by Walter Brueggemann was actually sparked by reading a passage of scripture in the Old Testament, which he's quite an expert, of actually regime change in the Old Testament in a fashion, when the priest Eli, priest over Israel, was removed by God in the narrative, and Samuel was installed in his place. But as you hear again, this is universal too. So I'll read part of it now, and then we'll reflect a bit further before I read the rest. So, holy regime change. We speak easily and glibly of regime change. We imagine it as some regime other than our own. We imagine our rightful capacity to make such change elsewhere. But then you, in Scripture, you making regime change, you overthrowing long-established priestly power, you moving against things holy and treasured among us, you causing endings that we had never thought possible, you making newnesses beyond our conjuring. And just behind old Eli and his loss of regime comes this other voice from your inner circle, summoning to radical newness, summoning to repent, and then a new regime. The kingdom of God is at hand. And all our old regimes, of hearts and of mind, of money and of power, of privilege and of entitlement, all are in one instant placed in jeopardy. Jesus, then, with a woman at the well, brings for her an invitation to nothing less than regime change, using the phrase there. The kingdom of God is at hand, the phrase that Walter Brueggemann uses there, used by Jesus in the other Gospels, but not said here, but demonstrated by Jesus. And the woman's old regime was like twofold. It was personal, going through husbands, and Jesus inviting her to a personal regime that was something more stable. But it was also a religious and political regime change too. The Samaritans were defined against the Jews by their differences of worship and belief, and as a different tribe, therefore. Beliefs that Jesus described as dry and barren, and bring invitation to her for regime change of one of a religious and political outlook of unity and love and deep nourishment. The water he is inviting her to drink, not from a well, of course, but from a person. A spring of water gushing up to eternal life, bringing regime change. Jesus here is, of course, deeply radical. And the way the narrative is related to us brings that out. Jesus has crossed divides, two main divides in particular, a Jew amongst Samaritans and a man with a woman. Just wasn't done. And the Samaritans and Jews were enemies in that sense of deep historical division that had gone on for hundreds of years. Think perhaps by sort of modern day now Jews, Catholics, Protestants in Ireland for hundreds of years, or Sunni and Shia Muslims, not entirely dissimilarly. His regime change then replaces those divisions with unity and enmity with love. The Anglican Archbishop in Jerusalem, and given his full, rather complicated title, and Primate of the Episcopal Church in Jerusalem and the Middle East, wrote this in a pastoral letter this week, as I referred to in my email yesterday. We refuse to see our neighbours as enemies, whether they be in Tehran, Tel Aviv, or the military bases of the Gulf. We refuse to see our neighbours as enemies. And he wrote on, our hope is not in the strength of armadas or missile shields, but in the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace that the woman at the well met face to face. And this regime of change then, for her and now, involves a change of heart and then leads to outer action. As we saw by the end of the narrative, it's a communal response, a communal change. I read another article this week concerning the conflicts in Iran, written by the news director of a human rights organisation that documents Christian persecution in Iran. And he wrote this, including referencing Northern Ireland, actually, as an example. Northern Irish mothers had been the ones to strike sense into their sons during the Troubles. When young men, bent on vengeance, had asked how they could move on without justice, only to be told by learning to forgive. And he continues, it has become commonplace among Iranians in recent years to post on social media following atrocities the words never forgive alongside never forget. And while certainly understandable, this has always seemed regrettable to me. And he continues, because if Iranians are to forge a new, brighter future for themselves, assuming the Islamic Republic can finally be overthrown, surely they will be better off casting aside the bitterness and rage of the past than holding on to it. That's obviously very hard for them. It needs that regime change in hearts that Jesus calls for. But not just for them out there. We're all part of it too, aren't we? Because the world is connected. And we all share responsibility in some way for the chaos of the world. We're all called by Jesus to a regime change of heart and action. So to finish, I'll return to that poem prayer of Walter Brueggemann's Holy Regime Change. And I'll pick it up from just before where I left it off, so we just get a little bit of overlap. And all our old regime changes, also all our old regimes of heart and of mind, of money and of power, of privilege and of entitlement, all are in one instant placed in jeopardy. Give to us courage to hear your summons. Give to us freedom to relinquish old regimes that have gone stale in hardness and in disobedience. Give us ease to receive new governments that reshapes everything, even our deep treasures. We live by your word. We await your news, but we do so tentatively, reluctantly, knowing the cost to all that is settled and old. So come, power of newness, come here, come soon. Amen.